Saturday is Christmas Day, and I know that we've all been anticipating that which we know happened, and that is the coming of Jesus Christ. So thank you for being with us on the fourth Sunday of Advent. Just a couple of announcements. We will not have fellowship hour next Sunday, the 26th of December, so just come for the morning service at 10 o'clock. No fellowship hour. But to make up for that, we are having our Christmas party this Wednesday, the 22nd at 6 p.m. It'll be at the Community Center at Heritage at Windhurst. It's if you know where Neighbor's Restaurant is, you just drive right past Neighbor's, and there's a wonderful parking lot, and the Community Center's there. We'll be the only ones there. It's all one level. Bring a finger food or dessert to share. The church will provide the drink, and there's a sign-up sheet if you would like to do that to indicate what we're bringing, because some would like to coordinate to make sure we don't duplicate too much. So I hope you can come to that. We'll have a great time. Then on Christmas Eve in the sanctuary here, we'll have our 9 o'clock Christmas Eve service, and it'll be a wonderful time to prepare, and that really kicks off the 12 days of Christmas. And then finally, I said in the newsletter and mentioned last week about my challenge again to you to read through the Bible, whether you've never done it before or if you've done it many times. I would encourage you to do it again. It seems like a daunting task, but it only takes, they estimate, about 78 hours. And if you break that down, it's about 15 minutes a day. And I guarantee you, if you might spend more time on Facebook or the computer, or I guarantee you, I know some people that watch The Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy, and it's only a fourth of the commitment of doing that. And if you do it, I will take you, not the church's dime, but my dime, because it means that much to me, to dinner, all those that do that. And I don't mean just McDonald's. We've gone to R.A. Bistro. We probably will go to Iron and Ale. And it means that much. And I'll guarantee you, if you do it, the meal will be the least rewarding thing you get. It'll change your life. If you haven't done it, I encourage you. To help you with that, there's an old reading plan from a missionary, Robert Murray McShane, that's really simple. It's been well received, where you read one chapter of the Old Testament, one chapter of the New Testament, a psalm and proverb, and you just get through it quite easily. I will have these on the table in the narthex, but I beg you, if you haven't read the Bible through, please do it. It's a lot shorter than most Tom Clancy novels. So if you can do that, you can do this. So please take up that challenge. Any other announcements? Oh, one other announcement, just logistically. The offerings will be taken up on Christmas Eve, and as always, all of that offering goes to help those in need. This year it'll go for all the flooding around Kentucky and a couple other states. And if you would like to give to that, you can do so even if you're not going to be at the Christmas Eve service. Just write your check, and in the memo line put Kentucky flooding. Is that not right?
Tornadoes.
Huh?
Tornadoes.
But it caused flooding, didn't it?
It's Kentucky Relief.
Oh, Kentucky Relief. All right. They're having a hard way in Kentucky. So we're just going to help those people in Kentucky. What I meant, I was speaking metaphorically for the more enlightened. The tornado brought a flood of suffering, and that's what I was actually trying to communicate. Thanks for putting up with me. Any other announcements? All right. Let's go to prayer requests. Any prayer requests for this time? And let's just make a general prayer request. This is a wonderful time for a lot of people, and it's a tough time for a lot of people in a lot of ways. So let's just keep everyone in our prayers. Yes, sir. Ma'am, Doc.
My daughter is involved in Team Move the Cup, which is a veterans group, and they also take civilian volunteers. They are out in Kentucky now with the flood victims. They're also having very heavy flooding in Big Island, and not Big Island here, on the Big Island in Hawaii, as well as in Maui. She is now in Big Island helping with the flooding victims who have lost everything.
So let's keep
Kim
in our prayers and Team Rubicon. Will she be coming to Kentucky, do you think?
No.
Okay.
No, she's not there until after Christmas.
Well, we are so blessed by those that volunteer and do that. I know several of you went to Katrina. I checked and I have contact information. If anyone feels led to go to Kentucky for the relief effort there, I have the contact information for volunteers, and they'll be doing it, unfortunately, for a long time. So pray about that and see how God leads you. But let's keep Kim in our prayers. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Carol Salmon.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
My wife's back.
Let's keep B's back in our prayers. Let's keep all those that are traveling this week, either here or away from here. So a lot of people will be traveling. Let's keep that in prayer. Any other prayer requests? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we thank you that you are the God that provides all comfort and relief to us in our need. Whether those needs are physical, whether those needs are emotional, whether those needs are spiritual, you are the God of all compassion, and you have shown compassion to us so that we can show compassion to others. We just pray that you will continue to minister where people are hurting. We thank you that this is the season where glad tidings didn't just come to us. Glad tidings didn't just extend to those who think like we do and look like we do, and that we welcome into our midst, but it went to the four corners of the globe. May we understand that our compassion, our love, our forgiveness, and our service is to go to all places. If our Savior could sit at the table with his betrayer and wash his feet, may we have that same type of love and compassion for those that are hurting. And thank you for people that serve. Thank you for Kim and Team Rubicon and so many other volunteers. Keep them safe in their recovery activities. We pray that you'll be with Terrell Salmon as he's facing end-of-life issues. Draw close to him and give comfort. Just give a peace. We pray that you'll be with B as her back has acted up. May she find some strengthening and some relief there. Give them safety as they travel, as well as others who will be traveling either to us or we to them. And we just ask all these things in the precious name of the one who, out of love for us, in order to redeem us, became one of us, so that through his finished work and his Spirit, we can have oneness with him. And because of that, we're grateful. We ask all these things in your holy name. Amen.
sometimes when you're trying something new or when we are facing a difficult decision, or when we want to celebrate something, or when we just feel lost and alone and uncertain about life, the universe and everything, we need a blessing. We don't always think of it that way or word it like that. We say we need advice or support or companions or someone to come along beside and lift us up again so we can see more than the tops of our shoes. We seek a blessing.
For many of us, we go home. We talk with family, close friends, those we've known for a while, those who know us best. We want them alongside and we want to be in their presence. Somehow, we know that being there, being home, will make all things better. Maybe it won't be fixed or solved or wished away, but at least we won't be alone. We seek a blessing.
Mary, faced with an incomprehensible burden and gift, ran to Cousin Elizabeth's house, looking for someone who knew a little of what she was going through, looking for a place to hide until the reality of her condition could become something real. And she received a blessing. The prophet Micah spoke of a blessing coming to an unexpected place, an unassuming town, yet by God's grace would become the means through which God would bless the whole world, Bethlehem, the little town of blessing. We seek a blessing.
We light these candles, the candles of hope, of peace, of joy, and of today, love, as a sign that we know blessing and we know waiting for blessing to be felt and lived. We light these candles as a sign that we still seek a blessing. It's time to go home.
We gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit.
Amen. Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll use Psalm 80. I would ask you, as always, to give particular attention to this as it will figure in the sermon prominently. Let us call on each to worship by whole verse. Hear, O shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock, shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim.
In the presence of Abram, Benjamin, and Manasseh, stir
Restore us, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved.
O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with the silent prayers of your people?
You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have given them bowls of tears to drink.
You have made us the derision of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh us to scorn.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. Amen. Let us stand and sing together the opening hymn.
Until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace.
Thank you.
extends through the entirety of the cosmos. Be present in our midst and stir up your power, O Lord, and come. With your great might, give us your help, that whatever is hindered by our sins may be speedily accomplished by your grace. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, making us your children, and as your children, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is from Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 5. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law." Then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Thank you. that to you fully and without reservation, eternally. Amen.
Gospel reading is Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 56. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned her home. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. Let us pray together. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for this day that we can come gather around your word, that which is read, that which is preached, that which is received at table. And may your word and the gift of your Son for all humanity be our only focus, both now and forevermore. May your Spirit guide us. May we hear your word alone. In Christ's name, amen. I am perturbed by people that don't get jokes. If you know anyone like that, they just take it literally. I have a friend that posts a lot of things on Facebook, and I'm amused by the people that he'll just post something for absolute mirth and humor, and people respond like he made some highly argued academic debate or premise, and it's ridiculous. And sometimes you just need to take a chill pill and let it just be. I feel that way about a song, probably the most overanalyzed Christmas song ever. If you are involved in any social media, if you read any religious journals or magazines during this time, there's been much debate over the last 2 or 3 or 4 years about this song that was made famous by, co-written by a fella here in Lynchburg that I knew growing up, and he loved my sister a great deal, and he co-wrote this song, and the illustrious John Williams sings it for us every Christmas. And that song that is highly overanalyzed is simply entitled, "Mary, Did You Know?" And it's accused that, and I still don't really understand it, so I can't explain it, ironically, but it's accused of what's called mansplaining, which someone smarter than me will have to instruct me what it really is, but basically, it's those that say that it's a bunch of men sitting around trying to explain to poor old Mary, who really didn't know all that she was about. Here's a portion of the hymn or the song that they find so offensive. "Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. Mary, did you know? Well, like any question, multiple ways to answer it. One is, on one level, to simply say, of course she knew. Our gospel reading today is clear. Yes, she knew. I'm going to give you very quickly 7 proofs in Scripture, very quickly. If you'll turn to Luke, I'll show these to you. She had to know. She confessed it herself in the Magnificat. She knew. She knew because first the angel Gabriel announced it to her in the Annunciation of Gabriel in verse 31 of Luke 1. We see that the Old Testament prophecy that there would be a Messiah was fulfilled, and Gabriel announced this, and Jesus claimed it to be the Son of God, the great I Am. The second proof we see in Scripture is not only Gabriel's announcement, but Elizabeth's proclamation. In the gospel that was read for us today, we see that Elizabeth says, how can it be that the mother of my Lord, the Theotokos, the mother of my Lord would come into my house? So not only did Mary know, obviously Elizabeth knew. And John the Baptist obviously knew, because what did the boy in vitro and his mother do? He leapt. In testimony of the presence of God and in fulfillment of what Gabriel predicted in verse 15, that the Holy Spirit would cause those to jump in his presence. So Gabriel said it. Elizabeth pronounced it. Thirdly, Joseph had a dream. He's called the sleeping prophet because he couldn't figure life out on his own. He had an insurmountable problem. He had an engaged wife, or engaged fiance in today's term, who was his, and now she's pregnant, and she's trying to pull off that somehow God did it. And Joseph could not wrap his brain around this, and he said, "Phooey, I'll go to sleep." And when he gives up trying to figure it out, he goes to sleep, and in the midst of his resting, God comes and tells him, "Don't worry. The child that your fiance is carrying is from me." So Gabriel knew, Elizabeth knew, John the Baptist knew, Joseph knew, the shepherds, the fourth proof, we see it in the second chapter of Luke. The shepherds knew. They are out and they fulfilling what we read together in Psalm 80. They came to find this restoring shepherd. They understood that they were temporal shepherds, but they came following the word of the angel to find this shepherd, the great shepherd of the soul. So the shepherds knew. We see in later in Luke 2, Simeon in his message to Mary. He knew. We are told in Luke 2, 25 and 33 that he, Simeon, preached the gospel, and both Mary and Joseph worshiped. They were amazed. They were marveled. So Simeon knew. We see in verse 36 of Luke 2 that Anna the prophet knew. And then finally, from Matthew's gospel, about 2 years later, we know that the wise men following the star, they knew. So I ask you a question. And I hate to pop the bubble you'll hear Christmas Eve. But if all these people knew, let me ask you the question that will be put to you in a far more beautiful and lyrical way, Christmas Eve, by John. Mary, did Mary know? Well, on one level, of course she knew. But I'm going to defend that it's still a good song. Because to me, the hinge word is new, is known. Of course she knew on one level. But did she really know? See, she calls us to glorify the Lord. Together let us praise his name. Of course she knew. But then on the other hand, do any of us really know? Not in the sense of an exhaustive knowledge. Of course we don't know. We're finite. God is infinite. He has all vastness. He has a cattle on a thousand hills. He has created all things. He's totally infinite. If any of us would say, well, I absolutely comprehend the Almighty, we're delusional. So one way we know, but not in an exhaustive way. We can't comprehend the Almighty. That which is finite cannot absolutely comprehend the infinite. So it's not an exhaustive knowledge. We also don't know in a rational way. Tertullian, early on in the life of the church, just admitted, cried uncle, yes, we do believe what is absurd. Absurd to your reasoning, to worldly reasoning, but as Paul says in Corinthians, it's the foolishness of God that's wiser than the ultimate rationality of the world. Do you really know the Trinity? You confess it, but you don't have rational or logical knowledge about the Trinity. Do you really believe that come Easter, the divine dies? And probably the most illogical, irrational of them all, do you really believe an altogether beautiful, lovely, and holy God would die for a sinner like me? Much less you. I mean, do you really believe? Is that logical? Of course not. So in one way, Mary knew, but not in an exhaustive way and not in a rational way. And also, she didn't know, if I can find my notes, in a practical way. See, we'll never understand God. If you think you understand God, if you think you know how the Almighty works, you're in an elite, very small group of people. The truth of the matter is, and I was trying to find this quote from Henry Nouwen, one who had so much knowledge, one who was at the epitome of being an academic theologian. He taught at Harvard, then he taught at Yale, and he was just surrounded by extremely knowledgeable people. And he felt called to jettison all of that and go and live the rest of his life serving the mentally challenged in homes designated for that. And he said, among the mentally challenged, I found a far greater knowledge than among the intellectually elite. And he said this in one of his writings, and I love this, because we hear often that if you spend 15 to 30 minutes a day, you'll become a master in any subject within a year. You'll be a doctor level if you spend 15 to 30 minutes, if you take 10 years. Except when it comes to knowing God. Nouwen said, theological formation is the gradual and painful discovery of God's incomprehensibility. You can be competent in many things, but you cannot be competent in God. It's humbling, but it's where we are. Probably one of the most humbling passages, and it's often used as sort of a caveat to let the Almighty escape from any form of theodicy that would tarnish his reputation. But we always say, you know, God blesses your obedience. God blesses you. But we always say, but look at Job. Well, the most troubling portion to the book of Job for me is not the beginning. That's not the most troubling thing that God, in sort of a discussion with Satan would take away all of Job's family, his sons, would take away all his crops, would take away all his life, would take away even his health. It's not surprising as much to me that at the beginning God removed everything that was precious from Job, except for his wife, and she was the best she could do is tell him, why don't you just curse God and die? That doesn't trouble me as much as the end of Job. Because what we see at the end of Job is that God does all this at the beginning, and at the end, he doesn't have the decency to tell Job why. Job never knew. We know, but Job didn't. And neither did Mary. And God comes to Mary, and while she knows, can anyone really know? But she still believes. See, we're not called to analyze. We're called to receive. John Calvin, one of the greatest minds in theological history, it's telling that his life verse, his favorite verse, was Deuteronomy 29:29, which says, the revealed things are for us to know, but the hidden things are for God alone to know. There's a whole lot we do know. There's a whole lot Mary did know. But there's far more we don't. So we move by faith. We receive. The knowledge we have is an intimate knowledge, an experienced knowledge. Let me ask you a question. I would like to see this. Make sure you're awake. Just show of hands. How many of you, and I've asked this before, but how many of you know what an apple tastes like? Raise your hand. Sure. Of course you do. You know what an apple tastes like. How would you describe it to someone? Is it hard? Sometimes. Is it sweet? Or tart? Sometimes. Is it firm or mushy? See, you really can't describe it, can you? What's the only way you can show someone what an apple tastes like? Give them one. Reveal it to them. They receive it. And they taste and see that the Lord is good. It's an experiential knowledge. See, the big thing is not whether or not Mary knew. What's far more important than Mary knowing is that God knows. And for us, for you, you may be going through something that you have the foggiest what's going on. You don't know the reason, you don't know the whys, the wherefores, you don't know the future. You don't know anything. And that can be frustrating. It can be frightening. But what we rest in, like Mary did, is it's not so much important that we know God, is that God knows us. We're known. Mary does an interesting thing in her Magnificat. She calls Israel a child. And she's making reference to Hosea, the prophet who said, because Israel was my child, I will love him. You know, it's interesting. Children really don't need explanation. A little, like infants. They don't really need explanations. They're not worried about how the mortgage is going to be paid. They don't need to figure out the state of the world. I mean, they know what they want. They want milk. They want protection. They want love. They really show that ignorance is bliss because they can just rest and trust the Father. All we need to do is the same. Receive His love and praise His name. Mary knew this. She received it. Let me point out a couple things as we close. Speaking of this experiential knowledge, Jesus will go on to say, as he's debating a very intellectual group of people, a group of people that knew a whole lot, but they didn't know what they needed to know. In his debate with the Pharisees in John 8, he tells them a very insulting thing because they thought they already did. He told them, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they were insulted. What do you mean we'll know the truth? We were born knowing the truth. Don't you know my pedigree? Don't you know my training? Don't you know who my father was? And never one to make just niceties, Jesus said, yeah, I know your father. It's Satan, the father of all lies and falsehoods. You don't know anything. But if you know the truth, you'll set free. And I'm going to say that there are many things we're set free from. But in that context of talking to the Pharisees, the thing that we're set free from is the need to know. The need to know. See, the need to know can rob our peace. The need to figure it out can keep us from experiencing and receiving the joy that Christ wants us to have. I would go so far, even for the Pharisees demonstrate this. The need to know, the need for it to be logical, the need for it to make sense can keep you from recognizing the Messiah. There's a verse that was translated by the King James Version incorrectly, but it stuck. You know, we still, whatever you say, we still live in a King James world in the Christian. And I heard this verse a great deal growing up. And in seminary, I heard it a lot. And it's a bad translation, but it stuck. In fact, there's a little children's program, so like Boy Scouts, that's based on this verse. It's 2 Timothy 2:15. And in the King James Version, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a worker that need not be ashamed. And the children's program, which is a fine program, based on that verse, is called Awana. Approved workmen are never ashamed. The mistranslation is the word study. Because when I tell you study, you think, okay, I've got to sit down and put my mind in gear, and I've got to sort of figure this out. And that's not what the Greek word is at all. The Greek word, and newer translations have it, is simply be passionate. Be fully engaged. Be diligent. Now, if we understand study is that type of intimacy, like you may study your wife or your husband out of love. If you understand study, that's fine. But what it's saying is, this is not ours to figure out. It's ours to receive. It's to receive. And here we're back to Mary. Eve had a very strong need to know, didn't she? She had a real high need to know. Her need to know was so much that she wanted to eat a fruit that would magically give her the same insight as God. And she lost it all. And Adam, as he followed suit. And I would argue in our need to know, our need to be able to figure it out just like God, we do the same. But where Eve had a strong need to know, Mary didn't at all. She simply trusted. She simply trusted. Be it unto me according to your word. Irenaeus. And I put another quote of his on the back of the reading. I encourage you to read it this afternoon. He lived in the second century. Irenaeus says this wonderful quote. The knot of Eve's disobedience was loosed by the obedience of Mary. What the virgin Eve had bound fast through unbelief, did the virgin Mary set free through faith. See, it's not ours to figure out. Life is not a puzzle to be solved. It's a mystery to be embraced. It's a mystery to be embraced. There are three, I'll give you three areas we can work on this, where we can choose to either be Eve and have a need to know and figure it out, or we can be Mary and just say, I'll accept it at your word. The first one is the incarnation, which we celebrate at Christmas. You'll never figure out why, how God became human. And if you figure that out, you'll never figure out why he wanted to. See, it's interesting in her Magnificat. The virgin birth is not a difficulty. I mean, if you think about it, God created all life. He created it from the beginning. The virgin birth is not what astounded Mary so much. If you look at the Magnificat, what astounded Mary even more than the virgin birth is how did someone in my lowly condition receive the favor of the Lord? That's what blew her mind. The virgin birth is simple to an infinite God. But for an infinite holy God to consider the estate of someone as lowly as Mary or you or me, that blows your mind. The incarnation. I'd say the second thing to put this in place is the Eucharist. People throughout the history, at least last 500 years, have gone crazy trying to figure out the Eucharist. I would suggest to us, instead of taking Eve's approach of having to figure it out, let's just take Mary's approach and be it unto us according to your word. And then finally, let me give you the real one I want you to focus on. Not only today, but the rest, day in and day of your life. I want you to focus on that, on salvation. If you try to figure out your salvation, if you try to figure out why God would want you, if you try to figure out whether or not this life is fair, if you try to figure out how God is working, if you try to figure out any of these things, like Eve, the results won't be very nice for you or for others. But let's be like Mary, who even though she did know on another level, she knew she hadn't scratched the surface. But that was okay because she had received his grace and she stood amazed that the God of the universe regarded her. Brothers and sisters, the good news of this Advent season is the God of the universe regards you highly, whether you can figure it out or not. Amen?
Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Bountiful God, we give our thanks to you, for you brought into being your glorious creation and crafted human life in your image. Your prophets promised that a virgin would conceive a son, the one in whom your truth would live, God with us. Through the voice of Mary, your Holy Spirit rejoiced in the wonder of the child eternally begotten of the Father. Through the lips of Joseph, you spoke the long-awaited name, Emmanuel. A sword pierced their hearts when your son Jesus was crucified at the hands of sinners. But in his resurrection, you make a new family of the redeemed, the restored, and the renewed. And so with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven and earth, we lift our voices in joyful celebration as we join the unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Living God, as your Son was nourished by Mary's body, feed and nourish us, your body, with this holy meal, your very self, that we may grow into fullness of life, dwelling in you as your Spirit breathes through us. Send now your Holy Spirit on us now that we may be your one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church to nourish the life of the world. Send your bread upon this bread and cup that they may be for us the body and blood of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." I'm sorry. Let me begin again. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup and he gave thanks, gave it to them and said, "Take this. This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Fearless God, who came in a dream to Joseph, dream through us anew today. Speak into our places of fear. Transcend and transform all that keeps us from living your dream. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Dream into life in this very place, a church renewed by the leading of your Spirit. Dream through our hands and feet your kingdom, where the hungry are filled with good things, the lowly lifted up, and the oppressed set free. Until that day when the life of heaven and earth shall be made one, and all your children gather in glory around you, everlasting God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. While God is hidden, he's always very clear to tell us through his word where he can be found. The shepherds knew where he could be found. The wise men knew where he could be found. We are told where he can be found. And Corrie ten Boom would remind us that Christ could be born 1,000 times in Bethlehem. But until he is born one time in your heart, it's of no effect to you. His coming is the truth. The benefit for that, the truth, is when we, like Mary, say, "Be it unto us according to your word." We accept his promise that he in Christ came here so that we in death will go there to be home with the one who loves us more than life. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with sincerity and truth to come and receive the very body and blood of Christ. The table is spread. Let us keep the feast.
Our gracious God, we thank you for this mystery of, above all mysteries, that you loved us enough, that out of your love, you incarnated yourself by taking flesh and blood and redeemed us, not with silver and gold, but with that very precious and blood, precious body and blood. And now you offer it to us. We thank you for things that we cannot comprehend, how small life would be if we only believed those things we could understand. So we rely not upon our own understanding, but we trust in the Lord, taking you and asking you that you would have it done to us according to your precious word. For we love you, knowing that you loved us first. And we commit ourselves unto you. In Christ's holy name. Amen. Amen. Let us stand and close by singing the final hymn together. David Dietrich and wish him a happy birthday. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.